Welcome, everyone, to A Theology of Hustle. I'm your host, Curry Blanford, and I am so excited to be here with you on this first episode of our podcast. A Theology of Hustle is work, ministry, and the people who make an art out of bringing them together. And so this podcast is dedicated to just stories of how people use their work to build the kingdom of God. I'm really excited to get this podcast started. I'm really excited to hear from all of you. If you want more information, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Theology of Hustle. And you can also visit my website, curryblanford.com. If you can figure out how to spell that, then it's super easy to find. So for today's episode, our first episode, I thought it would be fun to introduce not only the podcast, but myself to you. So in order to help me do that, I'm bringing in my wife, JJ, and she's going to be conducting this very first interview, getting all my thoughts, opinions, and asking me difficult questions in general. So I hope you enjoy and can't wait to hear from you soon.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in for our very first episode. And it's kind of fun because I'm JJ, Curry's wife, and I get to interview him for the very first episode.
Yay!
So I'm going to do my best to stick to his outline that he would like, but I told him, he asked me to interview him, so I'm in control and I can actually do whatever I want.
Yeah, I'm putting myself out there a little bit. Just I have promised to answer any questions she throws at me, so this could get pretty dangerous for me, I think.
All right. So, Curry, if you want to start with, what is your story?
Okay. Yeah, this feels weird telling you because you know my story better than anyone. But yeah, I guess I'll start. As it pertains to work, I've always been sort of a worker, I guess. Since I was 14, I had a job, right? Mowing lawns. I always, even through high school, I always had a job. I always enjoyed working. So in high school, I kind of was a little bit of a wild child, right?
That's a nice way.
JJ was not a huge fan of me, let's just say, because I was too awesome for her, I think, is what it is. Is that it?
Sure. That's what you can tell yourself.
But yeah, she didn't like me that much because I was a little full of myself. And I was just kind of this party boy, kind of Texas guy, you know, football player, all that stuff. And I got to my first year of college. I was in, I was at a junior college locally. I lived with my parents and I was at a party one night and it was the weirdest thing. Like something happened at that party. I was upset about it. And I just went home that night and I came home really upset. I came home angry. I have no idea why. And I just thought to myself, in retrospect, the Holy Spirit was like, what are you doing? Like what your life is pointless and meaningless. And that night I gave my life to Jesus in my bedroom. It is sort of it's unexplainable. Only the power of God. And that night I went downstairs and I had this speech written out for my parents and I told them everything I had ever done. And needless to say, they were shocked by this revelation. A lot of the stuff they sort of kind of knew, but a lot of it they didn't. And I think in their minds, this was sort of a, you know, this might be a passing fad, right? Like a come to Jesus moment that, that goes away. But about 2 months later, I got a call to ministry. Which is funny because I don't know that I actually knew what any of that meant. I was at a retreat and I remember thinking, I feel like God wants me to go into, you know, be a pastor. But I didn't even really know what pastors did. I'd been around church. You know, everybody in Texas is a Christian, right? I'd been around church, but I had no idea what a pastor did on a day-to-day basis. I just knew that God was calling me to do that. And the next month I was a youth pastor. At my parents' church. And I learned a lot of valuable lessons the hard way during that ministry. And all that led me to go to Bible college at Moody. And then I ended up at grad school at Wheaton, and that's where we find ourselves. And there I got married to this woman.
Right, I was about to say, that's not where we found ourselves. Like,
yeah, there's...
We're 10 years post-grad.
When you tell a story, right? It's so hard. But there's so much nuance to it. But we got married my senior year at Moody, and we have lived a long way away from home, right? So we've just sort of been on our own for all of our marriage, 13 years now, almost in July. And so after grad school, we started going to this church locally in Wheaton that we really started enjoying, and went there for about a year and a half. And when we decided to, or when I graduated grad school, they wanted us to stick around. And so we jumped into ministry there and have been there for nine years.
Yeah. What the heck?
I know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But also for all of those 9 years, I have been bivocational. My other job there's been two of those, really. JJ has had a couple more in that period of time, you know, like in the six range or
whatever. Yeah, this isn't about me. Sorry, my interview will come one day.
Right.
We're talking about you and your job. So, leading into that, what would you, at this point where you are today, or did you want to talk more about our family?
No. I mean, how about we say we have three children?
Yep.
Right? So we have two biological children. One is 8 and one is 5. And then our
one is 6.
He just turned 6. Give me a break. 8 and 6. And then we have a little dude who came home about a little over a year ago. He's 16 months old at this point. And he is adopted domestically from Chicago. And adoption is something that is very near and dear to both of our hearts. It is something that this podcast will probably revolve around a lot, because we know a lot of people in the adoption community. We are so on board with adoption. We run support groups. We train parents how to parent kids who have adopted and are in foster care. Not that we have any of that figured out, but you know, we have good curriculum we go through. So, yeah. So that's a big part of what we do.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So that is a big part of what we do. But aside from those things, what at this season of life, what would you say your professions are?
Oh my goodness. That's like a loaded question.
It is. I know, but no one else listening to you knows.
So let's start here. For the first 6 years I was at Life Church as a pastor, I was working at Starbucks. My Starbucks tenure was actually 10 years long, which for a barista, that is some serious longevity there. I really enjoyed my job at Starbucks, I guess. I enjoyed my time there. So, when we were finally able to be done with Starbucks and didn't have, you know, this, insurance sort of thing hanging over our heads, I was a full-time pastor, right? That's what I had always wanted. I mean, that was what I was always moving towards. And I guess once that happened, I sort of realized that I wasn't cut out for that, I guess. I don't know. It's just like all these other things started, you know, sort of coming along, and there's some good stuff, and I jumped into it. So, you know, I started building the church website at one point and a blog for JJ. And I found that I had a pretty good knack for building websites. And so, I started freelancing, doing websites and all sorts of randomness along with that design work and all that. And then about 2 years ago, my parents came to me and they had this new invention they had come up with. It's a process for putting color into metal, basically. So we customize these metal cups, but they have a patent on it and they want me to help them, you know, get this thing off the ground. And so I am a 50%, 49% owner in a company that's in Texas called Cups in Color. And I do, you know, design work for that and go to shows and all of that. Just this last couple of weeks, I started another job I sound kind of crazy when you say it out loud, but
you are kind of crazy.
I am a little crazy, but I started working at a local farm here in Naperville. It's just a couple of hours in the morning. I really, really enjoy it though. It's, I guess I'm home a lot, right? So I work from home and, I'm with kids kind of all day. And so, yeah.
Finish your farm thing and we'll go back to the kids.
Well, I was explaining why the farm was so important.
Okay.
Because I'm with kids all day. I'm out at the farm and I'm doing like menial labor, like digging holes. And I'm like, gosh, it is just good to be outdoors and not, you know, like caring for somebody else for a couple of hours in the mornings, you know, once or twice a week. So it's been really good. I get a lot of alone time, which is rare for me. And so I get a lot of prayer and sort of reflection in during those times. So it's been actually quite helpful, I would say.
Okay. And then it's not a profession, but a huge role that you play in our family is because I work, you are a stay-at-home parent more than part-time.
Yes, that is true.
So I feel like that's worth acknowledging that.
Yeah.
That's another role you play.
Well, and a big part of this podcast that I want to jump into is how stay-at-home parents do ministry. Right? Like what role that plays in their lives? Because for me, it could be hard to, your identity almost becomes the kids alone, right? So you like get so caught up in what's going on with them that, you know, you don't know which way is up as far as ministry goes. And like, what does it look like to, you know, pour into your children and disciple them? And, you know, how does that fit in? So I really want to get into some of that. But there's three guys on staff at our church that are full-time stay-at-home parents. I'm not quite full-time, but pretty close. And then the other two are definitely full-time. And it's a pretty interesting culture, I guess. A little off the beaten path, but it's cool to be able to, you know, have family, build a family, and do ministry at the same time, like on a pastor vocationally, as a pastor vocationally. So.
For sure. So within those different jobs and roles, you kind of touched on it with the farming, like how you're able to connect with God, but in the business with your parents and, you know, in your role in raising our babies, how do you see like God moving, you doing ministry? Like, how does that play out for you?
Yeah, this is going to be like one of the harder questions, I think, for people, or just one of the more in-depth questions, right? Because it has so many facets to it. And like, this is sort of the crux of the entire podcast, you know, why we're doing this. But I'm a storyteller by trade. Naturally, as I speak, I still tell stories. So I have this story that sort of sums up sort of my learning in this area, right? So I was working at Starbucks, and I struggle with Starbucks, especially, you know, I have two master's degrees. I'm, you know, feel pretty accomplished in this world. And I'm, you know, I'm a barista. Right. That's what I do. You know, and I would work 30 something hours a week, and I just felt like it was so beneath me. Right. I got into this like, God, why have you not given me this? You know, you've given me this passion to do ministry. You've given me this call, and you've put me in this church, and I can't do it full time. I feel like I'm not putting in what I need to. And I got really bitter with God, and I started, you know, just, I was angry with God because I didn't understand what he was doing. I didn't understand why he didn't give me what I wanted. And it was quite a few years into ministry that I like this came to a head, and it was sort of every day, and it was sort of eating me up. And I remember one day I was particularly upset at work. I don't know, some customer screamed at me about something stupid. Like that's generally what happens at Starbucks all the time. But I come home, I drive home. I remember pulling into the garage. I'm upset. I get out, I come into the kitchen. I can still remember where I was in the kitchen. And all of a sudden God spoke to me, not necessarily audibly, but it was one of those things like it was so powerful. It literally took me to my knees. And God asked me this question. He said, if being a part of my kingdom meant doing this for the rest of your life, would you do it? And that question rocked me. I think for a lot of reasons, right? I mean,
right. I mean, I think that changed the trajectory of our life and our ministry.
Right. It was, yeah. And in so many ways, right?
Yes.
But I think the one of the main things I took out of it is that God has me in this place. It's not that I go to work. It's not that I do my pastor role and that's where I'm doing ministry. The point of all this is that every day while I'm making lattes, I am in the midst of doing ministry. Like, that's what God wants from us, right? And so that one question, I love how when Jesus talks, it's like, it is so succinct and it is like to the point and it like just rips you in half, right? And I mean, that's how he was like throughout the New Testament, throughout, you know, with the Pharisees and just, it's pretty incredible to me that with just a few words, he can so strike to the core of an issue. And that this one revelation changed my entire outlook at Starbucks, you know, and it was like, I'm not showing up to Starbucks to bring home a paycheck. Like, this job, I'm going to be the best stinking barista I possibly can, right? Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to do the best job I possibly can because this is the work that God's given me, right? And I'm going to show his love to people as I do it. And I think that's, you know, why I'm so passionate about this today, right? Like, doing work that God has given you. And so for me, that looks very different every day, right? Some days I'm doing my, you know, I have my pastor hat on and I'm meeting with people or preaching, something I really love to do. But there's a lot of days where I'm just with my kids and like God's called me to be a really good father and to love my kids and show my kids who he is, right? With my interactions with them every day. And, you know, there's days where I'm, you know, at a show. I went to this show in Vegas with my company not too long ago. And like, it was so cool. We're at this booth, we're hanging out and I'm sharing the gospel with people next to us. And not in a weird way, like, oh, have you heard of Jesus? Like, here's a track. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't strange. It was because I built relationships with them over 3 days and they wanted to know about me. Right. And so, hey, I'm a pastor. Hey, I love Jesus. And this is what it means to me. And it just, it's so easy. And it's not like I got 15 people saved, only, you know, 14, but I'm just kidding. But it's not that like you saw this amazing, like people coming to Jesus thing all at once. It's that like, you're there as a representative of the gospel, no matter where you go and no matter what's happening, you know, you're preaching Jesus by what you do and how you act and how you're not a weirdo all the time. So,
okay. So as you're talking about that, you say like, oh, it's so easy and this is who I am. And for those people, like maybe myself, who don't find this super easy, I mean, why? Has it always been easy for you? Is it something that you've grown in that the Lord stretched you and that you've like grown in that capacity? Or is that just who you are, how you're wired? What makes it easy for you?
Jeez, that's a really good question.
I know. I wish you could see the face he's making at me like, shut up and don't ask me this on the first episode.
Maybe you should do the interviews. It's like insightful. You got that therapist insight going on right now. The therapist questioning. No, it's not always been easy. I think for a lot of, I don't know, you're making me like introspect now. So, but for, I don't know, I'm like a lot of people. And I think the thing that like kept me from, talking to people about Jesus for a long time is that like, I wasn't comfortable with the questions they were going to ask. I wasn't comfortable answering them for myself and I wasn't comfortable, answering them for them. You're right. And I don't know, it sort of feels like maybe if somebody asks a question that you can't answer, then like your faith is worthless. It feels like that sometimes. And I don't know. I think I had made Christianity so much about the theology and about the head knowledge that I had forgotten that like, I have a father that just really loves me, right? And that I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen next. I don't have to be worried. I have a father who loves me, who has my back, right? And so when I started getting that more devotional sort of outlook on Christianity, when I started delving into, you know, regular prayer and just experiencing God, it became a lot easier just to talk about him because he was somebody I knew and not just this idea out there that I had to be defended. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
I'm sort of impressed at how well I answered that question, to be honest with you. That was a great question. It's hard stuff. It's not easy. It's for sure not easy.
So, I mean, I think part of it for you that's different than a lot of the people that you'll be having on the podcast is that your primary vocation is ministry.
Yeah, sure.
And so it seems like logical as a pastor that all you would be doing would be pointing people to Jesus. But for those of us that, you know, vocational ministry isn't our first job, how do you envision this like playing out for other people?
Yeah, that's a good question too. I think ministry, you know what? I'll be honest with you right now. I think pastors may have the hardest time of anybody actually doing any sort of ministry. I am friends with a lot of pastors. I love other pastors. I enjoy hanging out with other pastors. I gain so much from their insights, and I find that I do a lot of ministry. We do a lot of ministry with other pastors.
Yeah. I appreciate the shout out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. There's no ministry done in this household without you there. But being a pastor can like tear you up. It is a difficult mm-hmm. job, and it is difficult because you're expected to be all these things. You're expected to have all the answers, and that everybody expects that ministry sort of runs through you, right? And so I find that pastors a lot of times have to like step out from their ministry job in order to actually do ministry in this world, right? Because it becomes about Sunday morning. It becomes about administrative tasks. It becomes about all these other things. And while those things do point people to Jesus, those things can also be a hindrance and just like a to-do list. And it can become very hard, even on a personal spiritual level, to like stick with all that stuff. And so the one advantage I would say that I have over most people listening who aren't pastors, you know, vocationally, is that it's an easy conversation starter / killer, right? Like,
right. I seriously don't tell people like, oh, he went to Moody and he's a pastor. I like wait till they actually know me as a person. And then I'm like, I'm married to a pastor and he went to Moody. Don't judge us.
Drop the bomb, right? Yeah.
Totally.
But when somebody, you know, when I'm out in the world and I'm, you know, at shows or I'm doing all these other things, people ask me what I do, you know, it's easy to bring up I'm a pastor, and that automatically tells them I'm a Christian. You know, it tells them a certain set of things about myself, right? And for me, I find that generally people are okay with that, right? I mean, it's not like people go away running. There definitely are those people that the conversation stops, but I find that's very rare, actually. Generally, people are pretty curious about it. And I feel like for others, like yourself, it's hard to necessarily bring Christianity up into just like a normal everyday conversation, right? The investment in relationship has to be a little more long-term before you start dropping the Jesus card, right? But since I can say I'm a pastor, you know, it becomes easier, but it also comes with those, like I said, it comes with that baggage. I mean, when you say pastor, people have a certain thought, whatever that may be. It may be positive and it definitely could be negative, you know, and it means something different. But for people who are just really good at their jobs and just, you know, preach Jesus through their everyday life, I feel like those relationships that they build with, you know, with customers, with coworkers, with colleagues, you know, however that works in your profession, that those are the places that, you know, you build a long-term relationship, and then it's easy to say, hey, you know, at church this weekend, or, you know, at my small group, you know, that sort of thing. And people are like, oh, I didn't know that about you. And you're like, yeah, that's why I'm, you know, that's why I am who I am. Right. And so it leads into this whole other conversation. So maybe a little more long-term, but I think, all of this stuff, ministry is built on relationships. At the end of the day, it's relationships. And people who aren't professional pastors actually have sometimes an easier job building those relationships mm-hmm. because there isn't that, you know, sort of baggage in the background there.
For sure. Okay. So I feel like in the season that we're in, God is really speaking to you and moving in you just in regard to how vocation and ministry and all this kind of ties together. So, but not everyone lives in our house and knows these things about you. So in this season, what do you feel like God is teaching you about what it looks like to do ministry within your vocation?
I feel like God is just showing me how ministry flows into every part of your life, that it consumes everything that you do. I don't know, especially in my pastoral vocation, it's easy to sort of compartmentalize, right? Like, here's the God part of me. Here's where I do my God sort of stuff. I talk about God. I think about God. And then in these other positions, it's where I make money, right? I do these things to make money, or, you know, they're only there for that purpose, and sort of bringing it all together, I guess, right? So, being me, being who God's created me to be in each one of those settings is how I'm supposed to live my life. There's authenticity there, right? When I'm compartmentalized, there's not authenticity. So if I'm running my business without that sort of view of God, that overarching view of who God is, then I'm making mistakes in that business and I'm not leading it like I should be, you know? And in the same way, in my pastoral role, there's been seasons where, you know, I haven't brought God into it, right? Like, ministry can be this, like, you need to perform and you need people coming and if God's not brought into that situation, then I'm not authentic and I'm not doing the work God's called me to be. So this, it's like an integration of all of these things, I guess, is probably.
Yeah. I love it. So I have the advantage of helping you brainstorm and plan all of this, but not everybody knows your heart and your vision behind what you hope this podcast brings to the market. And so I would just love for you to share kind of your heart and your vision behind why you think this matters and why the world needs to know about, ministry within a vocation.
Yeah, that's good. I'm super excited about this whole thing, right? But I have to tell another story.
Okay.
So I was at a meeting. I helped out our bosses, our pastors, the people who founded the church we're at. They have a business where they do consulting, leadership consulting, and they will be on this podcast at some point soon, I'm sure. But they had a guy in who's from Cincinnati. I know him pretty well. And we just got to talk, and I really like this guy. We really jive on a lot of levels.
He'll also be on the podcast.
Pretty much everyone I know is going to be on this podcast. So, you know, if you know me, just plan on, you know, at some point getting a phone call. But we just enjoyed this great time of just talking and enjoying each other, right? He starts talking to me about business, and he knows I have this business with my parents, and we're chatting, and he was like, "Oh, have you seen, you know, this marketing strategy or whatever that, you know, there's," anyway, he introduces this marketing strategy to me, and he goes, "You know, I was only talking to you about this stuff because I get the sense that you're a hustler just like me." And I was like, "Wow, I have never considered that I am a hustler." And that is who I am at my core, right?
Would you like to describe what, or define what you mean by hustler?
So Merriam-Webster describes hustler as, no, I'm just kidding. Urban Dictionary actually has several different definitions for the word hustler, or the hustle. But for me, we all... work is just this beautiful thing, I think. Work is, from the foundation of creation, Adam and Eve were called to work. They were called to tend the garden. And I firmly believe that in the new creation, you know, in Revelation 21, that we are going to work. Work is part of what we do. It's something God has created us to do. And God made me special or something, but I just really love to do stuff. I really enjoy work and I enjoy learning new things and I enjoy just doing different jobs and having different things going on. And so, to me, a hustler is somebody who just goes to work and does what they're supposed to do. And that's why, you know, a theology of hustle is so appropriate, especially because it describes me to a T, right? There's the a theology of, which is very high theology, right? I have these degrees that I can't even pronounce sometimes, right? But there's this side of me that's just very much, it's the authenticity of life. It's that we all have to get out there. We have to do stuff and we have to make it, right? We have to make ends meet and we do whatever we need to make that happen. And the way that God uses our hustle, the way that God uses our vocation, the way that God uses just what we do in everyday life is the greatest ministry we all have. I think across the board, that is where the most ministry is done in the church. I think it's in the everyday lives of people. And so this podcast for me is a celebration of the ministry that we all do every single day and don't necessarily call ministry. You know, it's not done just in the church context. It's not just done. It's not just done the way we tend to think of ministry being done, right? But it's one-on-one interactions. It's being just really good at what you do, right? And I am a hustler. So we're going to interview some hustlers and we're going to talk about the hustle. We're going to talk about work and what that means for us and bigger than that, what it means for God's kingdom and how it changes the world, right? So the t-shirts are going to be amazing. I just have to tell you right now. So
I'm excited. I'm super excited. So this is so fun to get to share kind of your heart behind things and what God is teaching you in ministry and just the vision that you have to do this podcast. And so I'm so excited and proud of you to pursue this.
Aww.
And I know it's also really weird. We're sitting at our dining room table in front of our giant windows in our dining room with microphones. And I'm sure our neighbors think we're insane,
hey, but it wouldn't be the first time
for sure. So to wrap things up today. Just a couple of final questions. And I'm so interested on how you will answer this. What is the most unique job that you have ever had?
Yeah, I probably should have thought through this before we did this, but I have had a lot of jobs.
Which is why I'm so interested. Yeah. I have a thought and I'm interested what you choose.
Okay. I'll go first and then you have to share with me what your thought is.
Okay.
Maybe one of the most random ones was I worked at an auto auction.
Totally. Is that the same one? Oh, it was the weirdest job.
We haven't even talked about this, but I worked at the farm the other day, and the guy working with me is a 70-year-old retiree, and he works at an auto auction locally. Like,
so
it's
weird.
So so this job was so strange. I guess, was I in, yeah, we were together, right? Was I in college?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe we were engaged.
Okay. So me and my friend Bradley, had several jobs together, but this one we found, I don't even know where, but it was an auto auction, which was cool, right? We got to drive cars and, you know, drive them through the line as they got auctioned off. But like this one was just on the, it was a little sketch. Right? So we had all these,
it
like,
was a lot, it was a lot sketch. Sketch.
Yes. These cars were not quality in general. And so what we would do is it was me, Bradley, and maybe five or six like retirees, but like retired truck driver sort of guys. You know what I mean? It was a rough and tumble sort of place. You never knew sort of what sort of language was coming out and what sort of jokes were going to be told. But we would all load up in this 15-passenger van. And we would all travel to these tiny little, you know, tiny little auto dealerships all over sort of downtown Amarillo and the surrounding areas. And they would pull up, they would drop you off, you'd go in, grab keys to some, you know, Ford Pinto that they had on the lot, and you would drive it into the auto auction. And it would park there for, you know, however many days. We'd do that all week. And then on Tuesdays, we'd run the auction. So you'd get in that same car, you would, you know, drive it through the auction, and people would bid on them. And then, you know, they would go out from there. And it was, I only worked there a few months.
Like a summer.
But man, it was one of the more interesting things I've ever done, you know.
For sure. That's totally the job that I was thinking.
I'm so impressed with us. That is impressive.
Because it's the weirdest job ever.
Pretty strange. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, if you were meeting with someone and sharing a cup of coffee about what it looks like to do ministry within your vocation, what piece of advice would you give that person?
I've given this a lot of thought.
Okay.
What I would give, the advice I would give, and I don't want to mess this up. So here it is. You ready?
Ready.
Shut up. I would tell people to shut up and listen to others. I feel like Christians are known for just running their mouths about things that they don't understand and having opinions about stuff that they don't know anything about. And I found that some of the best relationships, especially at Starbucks, people, our culture just doesn't listen, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can be somebody that just simply listens to people and is genuinely interested in their story, it will open up worlds
so
you can't imagine, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So there's my advice. Shut up. Is that all right? Can
it's
I say
your
shut
podcast.
Up?
Okay. You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to episode 1.
Yay! This is so exciting.
Theology of Hustle. And we can't wait for you to come back next week and hear what we have in store, what Curry has in store. I keep saying we.
You'll
I'm not
be
really
on.
A part
You'll
of it.
You'll be on. Stop. It's all awesome.
Right. Peace all out. Right.
Peace, y'all. Well, I hope you enjoyed this first ever A Theology of Hustle podcast. I am looking forward to meeting all of you and talking to you. So make sure and follow me on all these social media outlets. Like and subscribe to the podcast and share with a friend if you don't mind. And until next time, get out there and hustle.